morning, everybody. Welcome to the Hill. It's good to have all of you guys here with us. We've got some great things today, a great baptismal service that we're going to be doing. But as we get ready, hope you'll get out your Life Point outlines. You'll find them, if you haven't already, in the rows in front of you. We've got them there for you to follow along as we go through God's Word, have you something that you can remember what the Lord gives us today in the study of His Word. What I want us to do today, because we're getting, of course, school is starting, and I want us to just pray for our teachers and our administrators. It's a challenging year, of course, with the COVID-19 deal, and so just a whole lot of things that are up in the air, and just the concern about health and all those issues. And so it's a hard time, and I want us just to pray for them. So all of our teachers, our administrators that are here, would you guys mind standing? Would you do that, please? Any of you moms or dads are doing homeschooling as well, we'd like for you to stand as well. So all of our teachers, let's give them a God bless you. Will you do that? And remain standing, please. Thank you. And I'd like for the rest of us, let's just stand for them and pray for them during this time. Father, we're very grateful for the opportunity to be influencers in the lives of educators. These men and women who are either in administration or in the classroom, Lord, impacting the lives of young men and women who will be the leaders of tomorrow. God, who will have the opportunity to impact the lives of those young people that are going to be in positions of authority, places where they have the power to make decisions that change the trajectory of towns and cities and maybe even the country. And so, Father, it's a formidable task. In so many ways, their hands are tied, but God, you're able to open up doors that these men and women who know you can at the right time in the right way point kids towards you. We pray for our children, Lord, to be saved this year, that they'll come to know you, and that they'll follow you, Lord, and serve you all the days of their life. So thank you for planting us here, and I pray that we will be your church in this city this next year, and we'll do, God, the work that you've given us to do, and we'll do it well because we're being led by you, and our eyes are on you, and we're trusting you. And we just want to do what you say. So thank you again. Your blessing on these men and women again. We hold them up to you. Give them grace for the year, one day at a time. In Christ's name. And everybody said, amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right. If you have got your Bibles open, we're looking at the Gospel of Luke chapter 21, verse 9. And I'd like to go back up and start really in verse 5. If you'll just look there, and the disciples have gathered around Jesus, and of course they're looking, they're at the temple. The widow has come in and put her mite in, and Jesus said it's a bigger offering than even these guys who are just pouring tons of money in, because she gave out of her want, out of her need, and these guys are just giving out of their surplus. And she said, so even this, he said, this little woman, she's given more than them because she gave everything that she had. Then he says in verse 5, and while some were looking about the temple at this magnificent structure that Herod, the king, had built for them, it took decades to build, enormous amounts of money, and it was a beautiful, gorgeous edifice, this temple that was built for the Jews. And notice that it was adorned with beautiful stones and votive gifts. Jesus said, as for these things which you're looking at, because they were talking about, Lord, isn't it great? Doesn't it look wonderful? He said, as for these things which you're looking at, the days will come in which there will not be one stone left upon another, which will not be torn down. And of course, the Lord is talking about what was going to come about in about AD 70, when Rome was going to come in and was going to absolutely destroy Jerusalem. There would be over 1 million Jews would be slaughtered. The temple would be destroyed and burned. The walls of Jerusalem would be torn down. And so that was coming. But he not only was talking about that, he was also broadening it, because he was talking about how the Lord is going to come at a certain point, and God is going to judge the earth, and God is going to take over the earth again and wrest it out of the hands of Lucifer. And it said, the guys then in verse 7 began to question him, saying, teacher, when therefore are these things going to happen? And when's the temple going to fall? When's this going to happen? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place? And so they're asking specifically about the temple, but Jesus is going to give them the broad view. He's going to tell them about the end of time. And Jesus said, see to it that you're not misled, because many will come in my name. In the last days, there's going to be a lot of people come who are going to be false messiahs. And they'll be saying, I'm he, and the time is near. And he said, do not go after them. When you hear of wars and disturbances, don't be terrified, for these things must take place first. But the end does not follow immediately. So it's going to look bad, but he said it's really not the end. It's just kind of a forewarning, a foretaste. When you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified, for these things must take place, but the end does not follow immediately. Then he continued by saying to them, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. That's going to come. And there will be, one, great earthquakes in various places. There are going to be plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. Wow. And you notice the title of the message is, COVID isn't anything. And that's one of the things that God just wants to get across to us in this message. What we're talking about is the end. We're talking about the tribulational period. And so what I want to do, if you'll notice the core statement that just kind of gets our thoughts going. Our Lord Jesus is going to return at some unexpected point in the future to establish his kingdom here on earth for 1,000 years. It's called the millennial reign, where the Lord will destroy the work of Satan on this planet, and Jesus will set up his rule and reign from Jerusalem for 1,000 years, and there will be no war. There'll be no war for 1,000 years. And so that's the core statement. And then he says the wrath that he will pour out on the earth in bringing that to pass makes COVID-19 insignificant. Now that is a huge statement. That's a huge insight. Let me talk about the end times. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Bible talks about that God has in the past, he says in Hebrews 1:1, he has in the past spoken to us through the prophets. And then it says in verse 2, but he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. And so the Bible talks specifically that the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when Jesus came, the last days began. And so what that means is we've been in the last days, God says, ever since the birth of Christ. And if that's been like over 2,000 years, imagine how much closer we are today to the second coming of the Lord and the rule and the reign of the Lord on this earth. We're 2,000 years closer. And the Lord said it can happen at any moment. Now, last Sunday, we talked about the importance of worship, because we know that the end is coming. And we looked at Hebrews 10:25. You remember that? If you didn't, you can get that message. It says, forsake not our assembling together, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. You know, what does that mean? And this was the whole point of last Sunday's message. It wasn't about talking about, you know, legalism or anything like that, because the Lord's day is not about that. But what it means is, as we get closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says there are going to be signs. There's going to be those signs that are going to happen. If you read the word, you'll notice these signs that are happening. And what God is saying is, as we begin to see signs, it ought to ramp up our worship, ramp up our desire to worship the Lord, not go the other way. And what I want you to understand is, COVID-19 is one of the distresses, I believe, that the Lord talks about that will mark the last days as we get closer to the second coming of Christ. I think we're in one of those distresses that the Lord talks about. And I'll show you that in just a minute. But look at the truth in your outline. Sadly, I fear many churches are full of superficial people. And that's not dissing. It is an acknowledgement. with a superficial understanding of the high priority of worship. There's this constant thing in Scripture that God warns us as His people, don't be careful about growing cold. Be careful about wandering. Why? Because Isaiah said, all we like sheep have what? Gone astray, right? It is my tendency and yours to wander. We always are needing course corrections to get ourselves back online. And that's what the preaching of the word is about. It is to get us back in alignment with the Lord. And last week, John in Revelation chapter 1 in verse 10, he said, I was in the Spirit, listen, on the Lord's day. Now, this is about 30 to 40 years after the Apostle Paul had lost his life. His head was taken off. That's how he died for the cause of Christ. And so about 30 to 40 years later, the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos receives a revelation from the Lord Jesus, and he writes it down, and it's the book of Revelation. It is the book about the end of days. And John says, when I got this from the Lord, I was in the Spirit. And that doesn't mean he was in a trance. It just means he was in the Holy Spirit. He was being led by the Holy Spirit to worship the Lord. And he said, I was doing it on the Lord's day. What I want you to see is Sunday changed from just being called Sunday to being called the Lord's day. That Jesus had put this significance on the first day of the week. It had always been on the seventh day before. But now it's changed for those of us in Christ that our emphasis is on the first day of the week. And this is a day, as we see the end coming, this is a time for us to get together to celebrate the Lord. And I love the celebration that we have up here. Amen. Would you agree with that? These guys do a good job in leading us in that. It's a time for us to, we pray together, we fellowship together. It's time for us to be, you know, we're shaking hands, we're hugging each other and everything, because we're just family, and it's good to do that. It feeds the soul. And we sing praises to Him. We sing along with these guys. Why? Because it lifts our spirits. And then we're doing what we're doing right now. We're listening to the teaching of the apostles and the prophets. It's not about what I think. It's about what has God put in the Word. And I want you to understand, this is not about legalism. I'm not talking legalism to you guys. I'm not talking about rules and regulations. It is about us loving our Lord. That we are here today because we love Him. I'm not here today because I don't want Pastor John to be getting on my case. Not that at all. It is that I'm here because I love the Lord. It's not about external rules. This is not a burdensome day. What do I mean by that? I mean, when you leave here, if you want to go home and mow the yard, do it. If you want to go home and grab the family together and get in the car and take a boat to the lake, do it. If you want to get out and have a picnic together, although I'd wait till it was a little cooler or whatever, you know, do that. Whatever you want to do. This is not a day of a bunch of rules and regulations, but it is a day that we worship Him. Why? Because the time of Christ's coming is closer and closer. And it's on us. We just sense it. Look at the insight in your outline. The Lord's day is ordained by Christ to focus primarily on the glory of Jesus as our Savior. I mean, that's what we do. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, just for a few minutes. Then we've got a baptism. It's going to be just great. I want you to look at this next insight. The first time that Jesus came, He came in humility to die. But the second time Jesus comes, He is coming in power to reign. And that is part of our message to a lost and dying world. That Jesus is coming back, and He's coming back as Lord and as ruler and as sovereign. And He is going to take over this planet. And here's what I want you to understand. Jesus says, the Bible says, there are three points. There are three points in our Lord's sermon. There are three things He says that are going to mark the days leading up to Jesus' return. I give them to you in your notes. What are they? He said there will be religious deception. Between now and the time that Jesus comes, there will be religious deception. Charlatans who will pull people away with lies. And they think they're getting ready for eternity, and they're not. Number two, He said there will be global disasters. That will be leading up to the second coming of Christ. And He said, number three, there will be distress to believers. And that's why I said we're in a period of distress. Distress from this COVID thing. But it's only one of the distresses that's going to come. There are others that are going to come. It's going to happen. And so the Lord is saying, I want you to know this. And He said, I want you to know I'm watching over you. And that's why we've been talking about why we do the things that we do. We try to take care of ourselves physically, but we don't live in fear, right? Right? This is where you say amen, Pastor. Yes. We don't live in fear. Why? Because the Lord says, I've assigned to you a certain number of days. Before you were born, the number of my days and yours was written in a book. And because we know him, God has assigned me a certain number of days to live. And if I do what God wants me to do, if I seek to be obedient to him, I will live out every one of those days. And so what that means is, when these things come upon the earth, as long as I know what God wants me to do, I don't worry, I'm not afraid that I'm going to die out of my time. I won't do that. I will live every one of my days. And that is the way God wants you to live. Now, Jesus could have said four different things, I think, when they ask him. And I give these to you just so you'll see it. It happens again and again in the Word. He could have said, like Luke 12, verse 40, it's an hour when you don't expect. And they said, Lord, what is going to be the sign of the end? What's going to be the sign? He could have said, it's going to come an hour when you don't expect. He could have said, Acts 1 and 7, it's not for you to know the times and the epochs that the Father has put in his own power. None of us know when the end is coming. None of us know when Jesus is coming back and the tribulational period is going to begin on the earth. None of us knows. We do know that the Bible says there are no signs for the rapture of the church. It can happen at any time. There are no warning signs. It'll come suddenly. He could have said 1 Thessalonians 5 and 2, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It's going to come at a time when you're not expecting it. That's what he's saying. At a time when you least expect it, he'll come. Or he could have said 1 Timothy 6, 14 through 16. Paul said, at the appearing of our Lord, which he will manifest in his own time. Paul just simply said, it's in the Lord's hands. God's the one who decides when he's coming. And nobody knows but him. Not the angels in heaven. Nobody knows. Only the Trinity. Only the Godhead knows when Christ will come back. So we don't know when Jesus is going to rapture the church. You can read about the rapture in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. Paul talked about it. He talked about how the Lord's going to come like a thief in the night and catch us up. And he's going to raise up all the dead who died in Christ. They'll be resurrected and caught up to meet the Lord there. And it'll happen just like that, in a moment, in a twinkling. And the Lord says, leading up to that, there are going to be these certain things that are going to happen. What are those three things? Remember, they are deception, disaster, and distress. So let me break this apart for you. If you look, number one in your outline, no one knows exactly where we are on God's schedule. I don't know. And neither does anybody else. I have no idea where we are, how close we are to the coming of Christ and the rapture of the church. Matthew 24, verse 8, Jesus said, listen, he said, all these things are merely the birth pains. What's he talking about? He says, when you see around you, when you see the deception, the lying religions that say we're the way, this is the way, this is the way to believe. When you see that, when you see the disasters that happen, when you see the distress, he said, these are just the beginning of birth pains. Now, ladies, I know, of course, my wife Catherine went through two births, so I remember that. Birth pains, when you're getting close to delivery, When they get started, those contractions, those real deal, they start, and they start out kind of mild, and then they get intense, and then they get fiercely intense, and then you got a baby, right? Because you're pregnant. But if you've had children, you know too, that you can have those little nagging things, and it's like labor, but it's not, because we call it what? Braxton Hicks, right? And I was reading one commentator, and he said, what the Lord is talking about here is, he's saying there will be on our planet, there will be a time where we, and if you will, we're in kind of the Braxton Hicks part of tribulation. We're near the end, but this is not real labor yet. We look and we see that things are bad. Bad stuff is happening. It looks bad. We see we've got two potential hurricanes coming right up for the first time ever, coming right up through the Gulf. And Lufkin looks like is in a path for both of them. And we're like, oh, Lord, we go from not having any rain to having more than maybe we're going to need. We don't know what's going to happen with that, but those things start happening. And it's just, he said, these are difficult times, but it's not the big deal. And then he says, number two, deceivers are going to arise. Luke 21:8, take heed that you're not deceived. For many will come in my name saying, I'm he. But he said, don't go after them. If you want to know what Jesus really looks like, don't be looking eye level. If you want to know what Jesus looks like, be looking up into the sky, because that's where the Lord's going to be when he comes back again. He's going to come in the skies, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But Josephus, a Jewish historian, said that right after Christ was crucified and after the report of his resurrection, he said that there were would-be messiahs that were executed every day in Rome for the longest period of time. All these false messiahs came to the front. We've had in our own day false teachings that have come out. The Gnostic Gospels have produced in our generation the Da Vinci Code. I hope you didn't watch that movie. It was a total waste of your time. And it was a total lie. It's a total lie about the Lord Jesus Christ. The blasphemy that Jesus had a sexual relationship with Mary Magdalene. Absolute blasphemy. Absolute stupidity. But we have had false Christ in our days. We've had Jim Jones. We've had David Koresh. These false messiahs that led so many people to their death. And Jesus said there will always be these kind of people that will rise up. The world will be filled with false Christianity. We have it all over America. They meet in expensive cathedrals. They have affluent settings. And they talk a lot about biblical things. But they are lies. And the only way you tell deception is you look Acts 17 verse 11. You search the scriptures. And that's why we talk about the primacy of the preaching of the word. That's why we want to get you into the word, that you know and are able to understand what is true and what is false. The third thing the Lord talks about is, he says, there'll be disasters. There'll be disasters. As the end of life, as you and I know it, draws to a close, we will have global catastrophes. Now, just like I said in talking about the COVID experience, because you and I know that God is sovereign, God is on his throne, ordering world history, that keeps us from being afraid. Why? Because we know God our Father is watching over this. Our Father is in control. That keeps me from just trembling for my grandchildren. Do I think about what's going to happen to my grandkids after I'm gone? Sure I do. But I don't tremble, because all of them, by God's grace, are getting into Christ. One by one, they're coming to faith in Christ. The Lord's going to be watching over their lives. That's why when I marry couples, the last thing I tell them is, I don't tell them, don't have any kids. Don't bring any children in the world. This is going to be a mess. I don't tell them that. Why? Because the people who ought to be having children ought to be believers. Teach them about the Lord. Look at verse 9 in Luke 21. When you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified. These things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And here's the truth. Wars are not going to cease until the Lord comes, but only increase. In fact, ever since the birth of Christ, wars have increased dramatically through the decades. Time after time after time, there are more and more wars that have taken place. In fact, in the last 200 years, we've had over 500 significant wars. I'm talking about skirmishes, but I'm talking about wars. And they're escalating more and more. But this is not the end. And that brings me to number four, the revelation and the beginning of the end. Now, what I want to do, I want to just close out. I want you to see a picture of what Christ said the end is going to look like, particularly the wars that are coming. And this is in Revelation chapter 6, verse 1. And John the Revelator said, I saw the Lamb, that would be Jesus, break one of the seals. Now, Lord Jesus has in his hand a scroll that's given to him by the Father. And in that day, they would take a scroll, they would write whatever they're going to write on it, and then they would roll it and seal it, roll it and seal it, roll it and seal it. And this one had seven seals. And so as Jesus breaks each seal and unrolls it, it is a judgment from God that is falling on the earth. With each broken seal, a judgment is pronounced. And what God is doing, there are 21 judgments in the book of Revelation. 7 seals, 7 trumpet judgments, and 7 bowl judgments. And every one of those judgments is God destroying the work of Satan and his satanic system on this planet. And Jesus, the Lord, is destroying all of that. And that's during the tribulational period. And here's the insight I want you to see. The 7 seals represent God's tribulation judgment on the earth. The seal judgments include all the judgments. In other words, they start everything to the end. The 7th seal is actually the 7th trumpet judgment's beginning. And the 7th trumpet is the beginning of the 7 bowl judgments of God. And so Jesus takes the title deed from the Lord, from the Father, to redeem the earth and take it back to himself. How? By breaking and destroying all of Satan's work on this planet, all the world system that the Lord has set up. And how does it begin? Revelation 6, verse 2. There is a white horse comes, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. The first seal judgment is the coming of the Antichrist. This is the beginning of the tribulational period. Not the great tribulation, but the tribulation, the first 3.5 years. And the first act of judgment is the Lord opens the door and gives the ability for Satan's Antichrist, for his Savior, if you will, to come on the world scene. And it is an act of judgment from the Father upon those who have rejected him. The second seal is in Revelation 6, verse 3. And I heard the second living creature say, "Come." And a red horse went out, and to him who sat on it was granted to take peace from the earth, that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. So the next judgment of God is the ramping up. God is going to let all this world conflict begin to happen. God's restraining it now. We have a lot taking place, but not anything like would happen if God wasn't restraining it. But part of his judgment is the Lord's going to lift his hand, and he's going to allow Satan to do what Satan's going to do, and judgment is going to come. Revelation 8, verse 1, the 7th seal is opened, which, remember I said, it starts the trumpet judgments. And the trumpet judgments, listen, is one ecological disaster after another. Now, this is what God says in the Word. And the sounding of every one of these trumpets is the releasing of horrific judgment from the Lord God. And that first trumpet, when it sounds, when the angel of God sounds that trumpet and releases that judgment, something falls out of space. And they already talked to us now about asteroids coming by and passing in a close proximity to the earth. Why? Because ever since sin came into this world, the earth has been dying. We're on a dying planet. The law of thermodynamics, everything is going down. It's not getting better, it's getting worse. We talk about saving the planet. You can't save the planet. It's going to get worse. And the universe is coming apart. And so these asteroids are there. And part of the judgment is some of it's going to hit us. And the Bible says that there will come one, and it says there in Revelation 8, that it is going to cause a fire on this earth. This is during the tribulation. And a third of the earth, he says, and this is in the scripture, a third will be burned. All of the grass will be burned, and a third of the trees. Can you imagine the ecological destruction and havoc that will bring on this planet? That's in Scripture. In Revelation 9, verse 14, the 6th trumpet is sounded, and the command goes out. Here's the judgment. Release the 4 angels bound at the great river Euphrates. We have no idea what they are. But the Bible says they are holding back and restraining something. They're doing it right now. They're keeping it from happening. But there'll come a time where God says, release them. And those angels that are holding this back are going to allow to come forward this judgment. Here it is, verse 15. The 4 angels had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year. to let this happen. And there is released this power and this ability to kill, listen, a third of mankind. Now, if we've got 8 billion people on our planet today, if there were, say, 9 billion by this time in the future, we're talking about the loss of life of 3 billion people, a third of humanity. This huge loss of life. You can imagine what that'll do to the world economy. How is that going to happen? Verse 16, the number of the armies of the horsemen were 200 million. So there is this huge army that when these angels release what they're holding back is going to permit the amassing of this insane size army from some countries in this world. And Revelation 16:12 says, the sixth bowl judgment is poured out. The Euphrates River dries up. This army is able to come across, and it goes into the valley called Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo. And there's a great plain, and this great army, all these armies from across the world assemble to do battle. And the Bible says that at that moment, coming from the eastern sky is the Lord Jesus, and he breaks the eastern sky when this mighty horde is in the Valley of Megiddo. And Jesus returns. And the Bible says he's riding a white horse, and he's got all this power coming out of him. And behind him are all of us who've been saved and were raptured and taken up to be with him for the last 7 years. And behind us are an innumerable number of angels, and they're all riding white horses. I get asked all the time, Brother John, when Poopsie dies, is he going to be in heaven with me? I hate that question. And I have to tell people, there's nowhere in Scripture that says your dog's going to heaven. They always love hearing that. There's nothing in Scripture that says your cat's going to be there. But I've come to the place, if there are horses in heaven, there's bound to be stables, then I can say, okay, probably your dog's there if he lived a good life. If he was a pain, he's probably not going to be there. I don't know, but I do know there's horses. And we're riding them out. Why? That's God's will. That's what God has got planned. It is a mighty army. And the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, is going to be full of wrath. And he is going to destroy the armies of Satan, the wicked ones who have turned their back on Christ. They've not listened to the testimony of the saved. And the Bible says the bodies will be so high that the angel of God is going to call for the birds of heaven to come and to devour the flesh of the dead men that are across the sea. It's a horrible picture. Now, here's a little insight. The greatest location of migrating birds on the planet today is where, do you think? Israel. There are more Israeli military pilots that have died from birds flying into their cockpit or into the engines of their planes than have died in battles against their enemies. They formed their flight patterns according to the flight patterns of the birds. They do. Because they can't stop it. And so the Lord says, when he destroys them, the Antichrist and the false prophet will be cast alive into the lake of fire. All right, let me close with this. Number 5 is catastrophes. Now, you say, Brother John, this just rattles me. What is the point of this? I think there are 3 things. Number 1, it's meant to comfort us. That if I know the Lord Jesus Christ, I will never go through this. The Lord says, I will deliver you from the judgment to come. That'll take place in the rapture when all of a sudden the church disappears from the earth and the Lord comes back. Or number 2, it is sent as a warning of the Lord warning the men and women who have said no to him again and again and again. The Lord says, I just want you to know this is what's coming. And this is what you may go through. And then number 3, I think it's to inform us so that you and I know as we see more and more things happening like COVID-19, we don't get afraid because our Lord told us this was going to happen. But I want you to understand one last thing. Verse 11, Luke 21, there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences and great signs from heaven. There's so much here, I can't get into all of it. But I want you to listen about great earthquakes. We've had some bad earthquakes, but nothing like what's coming. The great earthquakes in the Greek was seismoi megaloi, which just means a massive earthquake. And the Lord says there are massive earthquakes that will come at the end. In 2001, there was an earthquake in India that killed 21,000. In 2002, an earthquake in Iran killed 31,000. In 2004, 283,000 died in Sumatra. 2005, 75,000 died in Kashmir. Seismologists said the biggest, baddest earthquakes today are 8.5 to 9.5. There's never been a 10-point earthquake ever that's been recorded. God says it's coming. That's in the last days. May 22nd, 1960, a 9.5 earthquake hit Chile. They're coming. They're going to get worse. Revelation 16, verse 17, the seventh bowl judgment says this: there was a quake, listen, such as there had not been since man came on the earth. The Lord said that's part of his judgment. And he says in Revelation 16, verse 20, every island fled away. What God is simply saying is, in that last judgment, the islands of the sea will disappear. Hawaii, Japan, Guam, in the last day, in the tribulation, God's judgment on men rejecting Christ. I don't need Christ. I can get to heaven on my own. I'm a good person. And God says, you reject my one and only Son who died for your sin. Judgment is coming. But God has given us a way to escape it through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like for us to bow our heads for just a moment, if you will. And this morning, if you know that you know in your heart you've never received Christ, you've never said, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Christ didn't just die for the world, he died for me. You can, right now where you are, you can say, God, I want to be saved. Lord, I want to trust Christ. Lord, I want to come home. I want to live with you. I know that Jesus didn't just die for the world, he died for me. And I want to ask you to save me. I take Christ as my Savior. I want to follow the Lord. I don't want to live life on my own. I want to be led by you, so that I can be ready for the last days. I want to go up in the rapture, Lord. I want to belong to you. And if that's your heart, you can receive Christ right now. You can invite him into your heart. Say, God, save me. I know that Jesus died for me. I am a sinner. And if I've never asked you to save me, I'm asking you to save me now. And I turn my life over to you. I turn my life to you. Now, if you did that, let me know that. Let me know you've received him. You can take a Connect card in the next few minutes and just write on there, I received Christ today, Pastor John. Put it in the offering bag as you're leaving this morning. Let me know that you've come to faith in Christ. If you want somebody to talk to, you can go to the information desk across the mall, the Next Step area, and they'll give you some direction. One of our pastors will be glad to speak with you. We want to help you follow the Lord Jesus. Now, I want to lead us in prayer, and then we're going to have our baptismal service, which we've been looking forward to. Let me remind you, if you've been here for some time and you'd like to take membership class, that's going to be next Sunday, Life 101, and you can sign up for that today on that card in front of you as well. But let's go to the Father, and then you watch the baptistry. Father, thank you this morning for the Word. God, thank you for what you've spoken to our hearts, for the clarity of Scripture. Lord, these horrible things, it's almost too much for us to even speak. The horrendous loss of life that's going to come from what you've given in your Word. And yet it's a warning of the future. As you begin to destroy the work of Satan on this planet and then do away with this planet altogether and make a new heaven and a new earth that's never known sin. So thank you, Lord. Grow your church according to your plan. Bless us with your blessing and bless these who are following you in baptism. Use them for the sake of Christ. We pray in his name. Amen and amen.